If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, as we take a look at verses 1 through 11, here we find the first recorded miracle of the church. And I believe out of the text today, we will learn from this text that this first miracle, it was also a tool or a means that was used for witnessing. And this is our text, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And one day Peter and John were going up into the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who enter the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look on us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Today, as we examine this text, this is the church's first recorded miracle. God was ready to reach out in a great harvest of souls. It was now time to attract the attention of the people. So God reached down and healed a single man, a man whom everyone knew, and filled the man with the Holy Spirit that he had just went wild with excitement and joy. You see, such a miracle and a behavior naturally attracts the attention of the public. The miracle was more than just a miracle. It was a sign, a demonstration of two things. First, it was a demonstration of the fact that Jesus is alive. His power is just as active upon the earth today as it was when he walked on the earth. Jesus is now working through his believers. Through them, he's reaching out to save and to heal the world. His followers are now his instruments, his embassies and his ambassadors, his representatives, his messengers, his witness to a world lost in suffering and debt and sin and shame. In this first recorded miracle of the church, God is demonstrating his power and bearing witness through the followers. In so doing, he has given us some of the greatest lesson on witnessing to be found any place. Jesus is now working through his disciples. Jesus, he is alive. His presence and power are still active upon the earth. People saw the change within this man. Jesus is now working through his disciples according to verse 1 through 5. This is the one thing that Jesus wants the people to know. His presence and power are still at work. It's still available to men and women. It's still available to us today. His great love and concern for the world is still being manifested through the lives of disciples. It's still being manifested through true believers. In fact, Jesus has no feet but your feet and my feet. He has no hands but our hands. And he has no voice but our voice. If we do not go and do and speak the work of God, his work does not get done. Jesus works through you and he works through me. Jesus works through those who are faithful in prayer. Jesus works through those who look and see the desperate need of the suffering. Both those who suffer in spirit and in body. You see, there's a lot of suffering going on in the world today. And sometimes we don't realize that some of the suffering is there so that Christ may be glorified and that the miracles of our Lord and Savior may manifest itself. But that only going to happen because there are those who have availed themselves so that Jesus Christ can work through them actively as he did in the past. So shall he do even now for the true believers. How many years has this man been sitting there begging? He has been a cripple for over 40 years according to the text. Just imagine, 40 years or more, a cripple from birth, never having to walk a single step. Had he been carried and placed at the temple's entrance to beg? Everyone knew him. Picture the man. He's unable to walk. He's unable to work, being ignored. Not only that, probably without family because they have, at this point, they don't want to be associated with him. Never fitting in. Never being accepted. Having to fend for himself. The point is this. The man was hurting within as well as without. He was a living picture of so many in the world today. Many of us are like this man. We are hurting within and without. Persons who are wounded and suffering so much from the neglect of men and from an unconcerned and selfish world, from a world that will not let go or share in what it has with those who do not have. You see, we live in the world where people are self-centered. The needs exist and abound. They are all around us. Jesus can work only through the people who see the desperate needs of the hurting men and women. In other words, Jesus can only work through those who have a heart after the things of the Father. Peter looked and saw the man. And he saw the need in the man. As Peter looked and he saw the man in need, he would not look away. He could have, but he didn't. He could have just passed by the man. Most of the people did, but not Peter. He was now indwelled by the Spirit of God. You know, for us who understand Peter and even his character, Peter was the man. He was the man who had denied Christ. So it was very easy for Peter to take a step and go the other way. But instead, he did not. He was now filled with the Spirit, indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And he was on earth to meet the needs of the world for the Lord. He has come to the knowledge and the understanding of God. And in coming to that knowledge and understanding of God, well, guess what? He see a need that needs to be met as this man is outside of the temple gate begging for alms. The great need of the hour is to see the needs of the world and to fix our attention upon them. Jesus works through those who reach out to meet the needs. Are you reaching out today? Are you meeting any needs today? Do you even consider yourself qualified? Well, let me just let you know. If Christ dwells within you, then his Spirit alone qualifies you to reach out and to reach down. And there is someone who's depending on you to do exactly that. As Peter passes by, he says, "Look on us." The words were authoritative and arresting. They store up an expectancy within the man to receive something. The words of Peter demonstrate that, one, he had a sure confidence that he himself belonged to God. You see, when we don't have the confidence in God, when we don't believe that God is and that he's able, then we cannot address someone by saying, look on us. Peter is saying, look on us, because he has the confidence in himself that he belonged to God. And because he belonged to God, he knew he is a representative of the true and the living God. And then he had a plan to help the man. He had a plan of expectancy, and his expectancy was a genuine faith that God would help him to meet the need. So Peter's not working or operating in flesh, or he's not working or operating in himself. When he says, look on us, he's referring to the power that is in him. The word of the Lord talks about he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. And Peter stands up to that and attest to that as he sees this man crippled, and as he speaks the word, look on us. He had a willingness to act, to reach out by faith and to meet the need. We too must have a willingness to act. We must have that willingness to act and to reach out by faith and to meet the need of others. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do you not say, for 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe for harvest. The truth is this. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. The need is great. But the Christ that is in you and the Christ that is in me, it is always greater than the need that is before us. But we must begin to see things with our spiritual eyes. And our hearts must be in tune with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to walk in the word that tells us that let this mind that was in Christ Jesus, let it also be in you. May it be in me. Romans chapter 15 verse 1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with failing of the weak and not to please ourselves. You see, too many of us spend too much time pleasing ourselves. And in doing so, we don't see the need of others. Jesus is alive. His presence and power are still active upon the earth. This is the most important thing God wants people to know. His Son, Jesus Christ, is alive. He is not dead. You see, the enemy wants to make you think that God is dead. The enemy wants you to think that he was never resurrected. But when we see the power of Almighty God working in and through the Apostle Peter, we know that Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He is not dead. Having passed from the scene of the world of history, he is alive and exalted to the right hand of the Father forever. His presence and power are still active upon the earth and will continue to be active in the lives of his true followers until he returns. Jesus' presence and power are not found in silver and gold. Jesus' presence and power, it is not found in silver and gold. It is not found in money, or it's not found in material goods. Nor is it even found in food or clothing. Peter had no silver and he had no gold. Peter had no money, he had no material goods. He had no food or clothing. In fact, Peter had no housing or shelter to put this man in. Therefore, Peter could not give those things to the man. It was such things that the man wanted and expected, and it was what the man seemed to need in the eyes of the world. You see, we look at things in the natural, and we see things based on our natural sight. But the word declared that the things of God is foolishness to the unbeliever. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Saints of God, we too must take time as we look upon people, as we look at others, that we're not just looking at the outside. We need to be able to be led by the Spirit of truth, that we too will know that we are empowered by Christ to meet needs. The man needed to be changed within and without. When God looked at the man, he saw the man's spiritual need and his physical need. Therefore, God's concern was to cure and to change the man completely. God was about to take care of the whole man, and the answer to changing the whole man was not found in silver and gold. Praise God. You see, the necessities of life are just that, things that are necessary to life. But having the necessities of life are not the basic need of man. Man's spiritual welfare is his basic need. If his spirit is right, guess what? He is right with God and man. And if his spirit is wrong, guess what? He is at odds with God and man. But if his motivation is strong, he is strong. And if his motivation is weak, then he is weak. What God is after is to change man by making him completely whole so that man can be productive. Are you productive for the kingdom of God? Are you walking in your purpose? Fulfill his purpose in the world and make the contribution he is supposed to make. You see, that's a man of God or a woman of God that is walking in righteousness. God is concerned with whatever it is that is spiritual or physical that keeps a man from knowing him personally and from fulfilling his purpose on the earth. Let me just repeat that for you. God is concerned with whatever it is that will keep you or that will keep me from knowing him personally and from fulfilling our purpose on earth. You see, it is more than us just hearing about God or hearing of Christ. It is important that we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus' presence and power are found in Jesus' name. Jesus' presence and power are still at work, working miracles and meeting the needs of people. Peter reached down to take the man by the right hand and lift him up. What faith we see here. The fact that Peter reaches down in faith, and then the man let him. In other words, Peter reached down in faith, and then the man had the opportunity to just say to Peter or brush Peter's hand away from him. But instead, the man let Peter lift him up. In other words, the man trusted him. We too must reach down in faith, and we must trust the faith that we reach down with. And then we see that Jesus healed the man. What power! We see the power of our Lord and Savior alive and well in this crippled man. The power of our Lord and Savior should be and must be alive in you and me also. How much we need to trust Jesus. Jesus' presence and power, how much we need to quit questioning and arguing over whether or not we still have the right to call upon Jesus' name. Saints of God, when we call upon the name of Jesus, all power according to the word has been given to him in heaven and in the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that's things in heaven and things in the earth and even things beneath the earth. His presence and power, there is none like it. It is time to trust Jesus, to believe in him, his love and care for the suffering and the lost souls of the world. It is time for us to truly trust Jesus and believe in him. It is time for us to care for the lost souls of this world. It is time to go forth in full presence and power of the Lord, who is alive, whose presence and power are still available for the earth. This power is available to you and to me. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. John chapter 14 and verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The man was completely changed. His whole being, his attitude and life, he was no longer shy and reserved. He was no longer embarrassed and ashamed about not fitting in and being accepted. He was saved and healed, inside and out. His whole personality was changed, and he wanted all to know he was standing and he was walking. He was leaping and he was praising God. See, the results is twofold. The people knew this man was truly healed. They had seen the man for years sitting at the temple gate as a cripple and begging for help. The thought is this. A changed person, a person who is truly changed by Christ, will cause people to stand in amazement and to wonder. A changed person will stir people to desire the same miracle in their own lives or in the lives of others whom they love. So let me just leave you with this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Today, we take the time to examine the text in Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 through 11. The first miracle of the church, how it became such a witnessing tool to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that God raised him up from the dead. This same power is available to you and me this day. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.